What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Debra Royale. Today, we are talking through a franchise fix for the Seattle Seahawks. And we were just talking pre-show that this is one of the strange ones where, you know, the team's in a weird spot. They have a new coaching staff. They're introducing a new regime, but with a quarterback that I'm not sure they're 100% sold on. Maybe we'll talk about how they traded for Sam Howell and kind of sent some decent capital for him. But first, we want to mention the coaching staff. So Mike McDonald is their new head coach. He was one of the hottest names available in terms of the coaching hire cycle. He's going to bring a lot of good stuff over from Baltimore from the defensive side. But what I really want to touch on is Ryan Grubb, the former Washington Huskies offensive coordinator. He is now in Seattle, orchestrating an offense that has people talking about Michael Penix Jr. as if he's a first-round pick. He's not. But this offense really highlighted a lot of really good things. They were doing a lot of good NFL concepts. They attacked the boundaries really well. But also, they just utilized their personnel really well. Good thing for this offense that has playmakers. But their offensive line is a problem, and we're going to go ahead and fix that here in a little bit. Randy, they currently have negative salary cap. Why and how did we fix that?
Heavy contracts and having to cut people to get even cap compliant, really. So this is their effective cap number of negative 1.3 million. They do, I believe, have roughly like 2 million in cap room, but with their draft picks, this is what we're at. So it is conducive to making another move here, trying to figure something else out. That could just be a late season cut, that could be a trade, a little bit of a restructure here and there. They could do a lot of different things. So it's nothing crazy, but moving around the draft a couple times wouldn't be the worst thing either. They have multiple picks in the day two and day three. So moving those around, combining them up, trading for next year, all are very big possibilities. But right now the salary cap isn't bad. They just were not going to be adding any new people because they added a lot of people and brought back a lot of people. Farrell Brown, one-year deal. $3 million. Noah Fant, 2 years, $21 million. So there's your tight end room. George Fant, on a 1 year deal, to be backup tackle. Nick Harris, 1 year deal to fight for starting center. Jonathan Hankins, 1 year deal to fight for snaps. Jerome Baker, 1 year deal, $7 million to be a starting linebacker for you, along with Tyrell Dotson. Artie Burns coming in for a cheap deal. Kayvon Wallace and Rashawn Jenkins coming in to try and be your free safety now after having to basically retool your entire safety room. And then Tremaine Antrim Jr. to right now be a starting guard, which is crazy. And your biggest signing is what you traded for last year with your second round pick, Leonard Williams, retaining him 3 years, $64.5 million. That's the deal they had to get done. Everything else has just been stopgap players, rotational starters, the best you could do. It's a weird cap here. You're paying Geno a good amount. Obviously, your receiver room takes a good amount of money. Yeah. It's a weird thing where they got rid of a lot of big contracts, but obviously those contracts still hit your books. So they're kind of in an eat-it year a little bit, and they'll have more next year, but here we are. And the final move they made, obviously you talked about it, they traded their third-round pick this year, 78, and their fifth-round, 152, to the Commanders for Sam Howell. A fourth-round pick this year, 102, and a sixth-round pick, 179. So a little bit of pick swapping for quarterback of the future, hopefully. A lot of people talking really good things about Sam Howell, rightfully so. The Commanders felt they needed to move on because him being the competitor he is, he put a given whoever the quarterback there getting some problems early on in camp, it sounded like, all reports at least.
Especially since they're best friends. And yes. Drake May's going too, guys. I think when that trade happened, I was like, oh, I think they would have kept Sam if they were, you know, had a quarterback that wasn't best friends with him. But I think that means Drake May, right? But
yeah,
this isn't a Commander show. We already did the Commander show.
No. But it is a phenomenal trade for the Seahawks, seeing as how they did need a quarterback in waiting, at least something, and a strong quarterback, too. They had to lose Drew Locke this year, who played meaningful snaps for you last year and won you a game. So Sam Howell can easily do that and fill that role. And honestly, I think working with a quarterback that went through trials and tribulations as well can keep his head on straight. And he has every chance to be your quarterback in 2 years.
For what it's worth, and I think those are all sound, but I actually think that Howell has a shot to take this job from Geno this year. And I know that that's like probably not like a popular opinion. I like Geno for what he is, but when we talk about what this offense was and how it attacks vertically and how it requires a huge arm, those all speak to Sam Howell. And maybe they do just rely on, you know, the safety of Geno this year, but I wouldn't be shocked if by the end of the year, Sam Howell's just the starter. And Geno's kind of back on the bench.
I think that would have to rely on some bad play from Geno and some phenomenal play from Sam. Not that both aren't possible, but it's just the money-wise this year, it'd be a very tough... It'd be like the Seahawks drafting Russ with Matt Flynn, where you've sunk all this money, and Geno's much better than Matt Flynn was. So that's where it's like, man, you'd have to have some... that kind of level of like, oh shit,
right?
What happened? You know, so it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility, but I do think it's a possible crap. Sam looked great all year this year. Let's just give him the reins next year, more likely than him taking over this year.
Yeah, I think that's a fair take. I think that's a consensus take. But all right, let's get over to our mock draft, because this is clearly the only route that we have in fixing this team. But, you know, we didn't really mention the depth chart. Right now, the offensive line is in a very, very bad spot. We have made jokes on here during mock drafts that they don't have a starting left guard at the moment.
They signed the intro. Yeah, that was it.
Right, exactly. So they don't have a good starting left guard, and so we have to attack this offensive line at some point. Randy, they are picking at the 16th overall pick, but for us, they are not. How did we acquire more picks?
Yeah, so I think this is the easiest solution and most economic solution for them to become cap compliant with the cap holdings they have, as well as get more picks in this draft, which is needed, and one in the future. So I had the Seahawks trade back with the Cardinals. Yes, it's interdivision. Not for a quarterback. I think it's possible. Obviously, Cardinals see someone they like and move up here. But the Seahawks trade pick 16, pick 235, and a fifth-round pick in 2026. We did do a 2025, and then I realized they didn't have a fifth next year currently until comp picks possibly. So we're just going to move that year along. For the Cardinals, pick 127 or pick 27 in the first round, pick 71 in the third, pick 186 in the sixth, and a third rounder next year. So a pick swap of late picks with 235 and 186, a big pick swap for the Seahawks, but you know, inconsequential with the Cardinals that have every pick under the sun. So you move back, you save a ton of money, a ton of like $10 million or so in like contract value for this draft pick, and you get an extra third this year and next year. That's very, very ideal for the Seahawks here, and you get the best interior offensive lineman, at least center in the class, and Jackson Powers Johnson. A guy that you could have been contemplating at 16. I think you're also contemplating like Troy Fatanu and others there. You know, edge rushers, a bunch of different things, but you get to move back and get a guy that could play either guard position or center this year.
Yeah, I think this is right. I've seen a lot of buzz lately that there's a chance that he falls out of the first round. So moving back and still getting him, some, you know, with early mock drafts might say, oh, this would never happen. This is probably going to happen. And to be completely honest, I think they could trade back again and maybe still get him. But to me, he's a top 10 player in the class. And so.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of the issue with Jackson Powers Johnson is nothing to do with him. I think we went into this draft cycle, I think teams did as well, thinking we got like two centers and like three guys, you know, in the first two rounds, at least like two centers and like three or four guys that could play center. And now we're getting into it. We're realizing like we got like 10 centers in this draft, you know, all are not up to this level, or Zach Frazier's level, or, you know, even Van Praan's level, but we got a lot of guys that are going to go in round 3 and 4 here and 5 that are just going to be taking up snaps at center and at backup. So I think that's kind of diminished the positional value because it's been strengthened. Whereas I think there's teams this year, when you're looking at multiple different teams that are thinking, okay, we could get a we need a receiver and a tackle. Well, let's take the receiver here because the top end's here, or a top end tackle here because the tackles drop off later at these top level receivers so good. So I think that's why center's kind of dropping down. But for the Seahawks, you get a guy that can do all three, and you need all three for this year, for the future. It just makes sense.
Yeah. No, this is the way to do it. All right. With that 71st pick, we're going to take Jaden Hicks, the safety from Washington State. I do think that as we start to see more mock drafts in the next couple of weeks, we're going to see Jaden Hicks rising up boards because Jaden Hicks is Dayton Brugler's number one safety. He dropped the beast yesterday, if you're listening to this, when it drops. And Jaden Hicks is up there, and with good reason, just really, really good film. Hard-hitting kid that I think has versatility. He can play all over the place. Teams are going to really like that. The safety class is kind of strange in that some of the top guys didn't test very well, and a lot of the guys were boosted by good senior bowls or just being available throughout the all-star process. Hicks is one of those guys that I think has certainly benefited. We talked about the safety room and how they had to restructure that entire room. This is a shot at getting an actual playmaker, and we're doing it inside the top 75, but certainly with a lower, you know, risk pick here in the third. It feels like he'd slot in as a starter kind of immediately, to be completely honest. I think he'd
at least compete. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that they signed two to make up that free safety position has me slightly worried that he wouldn't necessarily start, but man, I think he's better than them already. I do think him and Newbin are going like 50 to 75, 50 to 80, somewhere in there. It's just safety's not a highly valued position and not truly needed starter level by a lot of teams. So that's there. And then, there, you know, Kitchens and Bullock, and there's a few others that I think are going like 75 to 100. That we're going to get like two in the first range and then like three or four in the next range. So I think this is near his value. I do think top of the third, very late second is the ceiling, though, for Jaden Hicks and Newbin, you know, who I do think Newbin is my one, but I still, like, he's a popular pick early second to Packers, and I'm still like, still a little bit rich.
It is.
All right. It is. But we're going to keep building on the defense here at pick 81 with Jeremiah Trotter Jr., linebacker from Clemson. Again, we kind of just are retooling the entire linebacking room. We've gotten rid of our linebackers, you know, for the last decade and last 5 years. Brought in new ones, and Tyrell Downson and Jerome Baker, all stopgap guys. I think Jeremiah Trotter, you know, a third-round pick, obviously is going to be trying to compete for snaps, but I do think he could win one of those inside linebacker positions because we do use two the whole time. But just a very solid player, big guy. You know, obviously the pedigree of the college at Clemson, there's a lot of strengths there that you want and a lot of snaps that you had. So, you know, he's one of those ideal fits for them with just good acceleration and can fly and can kind of play freely behind, you know, what you've built as your backbone in the middle and then edge rushers. So it's a smart pick there to at least get depth for this year, but a guy that could probably win a spot.
Yeah. Nope, this is a good pick as well. We've got a slew of day three picks incoming now. At 102, we're taking Trevor Keegan, the guard from Michigan. We just talked about the offensive line and how rough the current depth chart looks, and I think they have to double or triple tap this offensive line. They, you know, they brought in George Fant as a tackle. I think they also need to take a tackle sometime.
Just saying. If they had to kick Abraham Lucas in for a year, it wouldn't be the worst thing. I know Seahawks fans are going to hate that, though. I'm sorry.
I know. Well, like isn't the big problem with him the injury, though? Aren't they really kind of concerned about the injury?
Kind of. But it's the same thing with Cross, though. They both have injury concerns. But Lucas is kind of like a natural guard that's playing really well at tackle.
Yeah,
it's a tough thing. Yeah, I mean, we both like yeah. The dude's a beast.
But... And Charles Cross, I think they've got two studs when healthy and exactly. When. It'll be interesting to see if they implement the same type of run scheme too. I think they will, but
yeah, and that's why getting a versatile piece like JPJ and now with Keegan, who's side versatile, he can go both sides at guard. Mm-hmm. I think that's smart with your new offensive coordinator, who all of Washington's offensive linemen are position flexible. I think that's the type of guys he likes, so it makes sense here to try and get your best five on the field, however you can do it. If that includes George Fant on the inside or out, we'll see. But man, I for a fourth round pick, I think Keegan on this team probably will start, or at least start at the second half of the year.
Yeah, no, that's right. All right, what's next?
All right, we went with Muhammad Kamara, the edge from Colorado State. This to me is just a smart pick. a pretty high RAS guy, not the perfect height and weight, but it fits what they like. They have their big guys, already, but now we get more of what they really want. And I think more of a Daryl Taylor replacement of the future, but 4.5 40, nothing to sneeze at, 32 inch arms, great everything and good tape where he's just gonna, super explosive, good speed rusher, has the moves already. There's just, he's at closer to his ceiling, but that's why he's in the fourth round. But we've seen plenty of fourth round picks in the last few years, and fifth round picks at edge rusher have very high impacts or become stars in some cases. But I don't think that's necessarily in his ceiling, but he's definitely going to be a rotational player for you for the future. And I wouldn't be shocked if he was whatever you're starting edge rushers in 3 years.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I was trying to find him on the big board that I put together. I did a horizontal board, but I can't find him right now because my computer's not cooperating. But either way, this is a kid that's been rising a lot throughout the process. I think people are intrigued by his skill set. I think he fits exactly what Seattle's trying to do.
He's good tape. It's just the level of competition you saw him fight is, good leverage, good get off, explosive, good at reading the snap. But if it's a lower level, they're using the same snap count all the time. It's little things like that where it's like the transition might be hard, but he's got enough pass rush moves already. Again, against weaker competition. I just want to stress that because it is a fourth round pick from CSU. but all that stuff, when you have all those little things, I think that shows that you're coachable and you're a hard worker, and I think that's perfect for a landing spot here where you're the edge four right now that can work out to edge two by the end of the year.
Right.
Because I found him. He's not losing a spot.
No, he's not. I found him. I have him as a potential NFL starter grade in our system.
That's so. Not surprising. Yeah, the tape's great, but I did kind of like, okay, like you're facing guys that aren't playing next year. I.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. First sixth round pick, 179 here. We're going to take AJ Barner, tight end from Michigan. This is a kid that I think he's a fine tight end. I think there's not a whole lot that he does extremely well, but he does everything fairly well. And so he's going to do exactly. He's going to do the little things. I think that he's got some pass catching upside. If you needed him in a pinch, he reminds me like role wise of Josh Wiley in Tennessee last year, where they asked him to do a little, maybe too much as the tight end two last year, but in a tight end three situation, he probably would have been a lot better. To me, those are similar players in that, like, Barner can do some stuff after the catch. He's a pretty good blocker, but you don't really want to feature him in the sixth round. That's what you're getting.
Yeah, it's hard. This has been one of my favorite fits for him because when I watched the tape, all I could think of was like Will Disley, Colby Parkinson. And that's probably it's a little bit typecasting, but that's how he plays. He plays as a guy that can make a play for you. He can make the short yards fall down like Zach Ertz nowadays, but he's going to be in the blocking scheme. He's going to do the dirty work for you. He's not George Kittle in that aspect, but he's not going to break tackles, all that kind of stuff. But He's just good at everything, like you said, not great at anything. And he's a perfect rotational tight end for you. And you get the weapon tight end ahead of him, and you're in a perfect system. Pharaoh Brown has shown to be more of a weapon tight end than a blocker. So I think he'll get instant rotational tight end two snaps. And this is a team that we know will use that, even with a new offensive coordinator. And then Noah Fant is on a two-year deal to be your weapon piece. So Barner has a chance in this type of offense to really excel down the line here.
Yep, for sure.
All right. The next six-round pick, 186. I went with Ethan Driscoll, offensive tackle for Marshall. Yeah, we're getting some smaller school love here. We're taking a shot at offensive line here. I'll just be honest. You do still need an offensive tackle swing piece of the future. I think Driscoll could kick inside if you need it. With how these tackles have been health-wise, to me, this is a must pick to just at least gain more depth, because you have one swing tackle right now. Stone Forsyth, I like, hasn't done anything. You know, I just don't trust him enough. So I need another shot at that, basically. And that's what this is.
Stone Forsyth is the moment that I said, I'm going to trust my own evaluations instead of, I mean, I've always said that, but I said it specifically for Stone Forsyth because he got some like week of the draft, like, oh, this is a second round pick. And I mean, shoot, he was not that, and he is not that. So let's take another shot at that. That's a good call, Randy. All right, last pick here, 192. We're taking Steel Chambers, the linebacker from Ohio State. This is an upside play. Steel Chambers is still, you know, I know he's played linebacker for a couple of years now, but he's still fairly new to the position. I think that that's going to play in to his evaluation, but also that gives him a little more upside than some of the other linebackers that you can get at this moment. All of that versatility is going to be welcomed. This is a kid that can play special teams, but he's also, he flies around the field. He's definitely got some traits where you're like, could this be a starter down the road? If I'm drafting a linebacker on day three, that's kind of what I'm shooting for because of the, I guess, depression of the position in terms of importance. And so with Steel Chambers here at 192, I feel like you're getting a nice kid who can rotate in potentially. And I think they've got, obviously we took Trotter, but you need to continue stacking that linebacker room because right now it's really just not very good. I like Jerome Baker for what he is, but I also think that he's kind of right. Well, 1 year deal. Plus I kind of think he's starting to fall off a little bit. So you want to take some shots at that position with the picks that you have. And that's what we mean.
He checks all the boxes for a day three pick. It's like you went through all of them. You can play special teams. You have upside. You're in the evolutional archetype of the position. Like you're a hard worker. Like you play at a big program. So you have the pedigree and you've taken the big snaps against real competition. Like it makes the most sense. He's an easy pick for them. And, you know, interior of the defense is now just becoming, you know, let's throw as many bodies at the position and rotate a lot and quickly, except for the studs, you know.
Yeah.
And we have one of those studs, T-tackle, but we don't have really anything else. So we're just going to get as many bodies as we can. And they did that, you know, through free agency in the draft of the last few years in the interior. And edge rusher, now we're having to fix that for the linebacker room after they've revamped their whole position there.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go through our new depth chart now that we have drafted and hopefully fixed the Seahawks as much as we can. So Geno Smith, Sam Howell is your quarterbacks, Ken Walker, Zach Charbonnet, Kenny McIntosh, Brian Kobach is your running backs, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jake Bobo, we talked pre-show. We're not really pushing for a wide receiver four because Jake Bobo had some good film last year. The last regime really liked him. And so I think that there's a chance that he has a role. So we didn't push for a wide receiver four. I think we're pretty set at wide receiver, though.
Yeah, and I think your new offensive coordinator might be able to find a way to unlock D. Eskridge enough as a wide receiver five.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Charles Cross, Tremaine Ankrum, Oluolu Watimi, Jackson Powers Johnson, Abraham Lucas is your starting offensive line. You've got George Fant. You've got Anthony Bradford. You've got Nick Harris. You've got Trevor Keegan. You've got now Ethan Driscoll. We talked about Stone Forsythe. There's some depth there. McClendon Curtis is there too. I think that there's shots. That's what this offensive line needs. And so we're looking a lot better than we did before we started this exercise.
You got your three studs, and then the other two positions we're going to figure out for the year. And there are attack next year, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Tight ends, we have Noah Fant, Farrell Brown, A.J. Barner. Our defensive line, Leonard Williams, Jerron Reed, Draymond Jones. That's a really solid, down front, I guess. You got Mike Morris in there rotating as well. Jonathan Hankins. That's pretty much your rotation there. I think we could add another piece there. We chose not to. It's okay. It's not a one-year thing here, I don't think, based on the cap situation that we talked about. Boye Mafe, Tyrell Dotson, Daryl Taylor, Steel Chambers, Jerome Baker, Jeremiah Trotter, Uchenna Nwosu, Mo Kamara, Derek Hall. A lot of guys at linebacker. A lot of those are like the edge rushers. Nwosu, Mo Kamara, Boye Mafe, Daryl Taylor, kind of those guys. But I think we're feeling good about that. And then corners. I'm not feeling great about our corners. Specifically, Tyreek Woolen took another kind of a step down last year. You've got him starting with Michael Jackson and Devin Witherspoon. Artie Burns is coming in. I think you maybe move Devin Witherspoon outside a little bit more and pop Artie Burns into a slot. We'll see how that plays out. And then our safeties, we have Julian Love, Kobe Bryant, Rayshon Jenkins, Jaden Hicks, Kayvon Wallace. Shots. We've got a lot of guys.
Yeah, we know Artie Burns, Trey Brown, Kobe Bryant, Rayshon Jenkins, Kayvon, they can all play the nickel as well. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a good chance Witherspoon takes over an outside corner position from Michael Jackson. I just don't think he played good last year. I don't think he was fully ready for the outside full time. I think he can win that this year. That's because they picked two safeties, and I love Kobe Bryant, and I know he could play safety, nickel, and outside corner. I just wasn't pushing for corners in the draft. I can promise you that. That's why.
That's fair. Like, when you combine the whole DB room, I think I'm feeling a lot better about it. But truly, the thing I struggle with is this defense will need a playmaker. Devin Witherspoon can do that easier from that slot corner.
And that's why he's there.
Right. So I wonder if they can find enough with what we've added here to maybe allow him to play outside, because I think he can do it now. It's just, do you want to remove him from the line of scrimmage more often than you did last year? I don't know if the answer is yes. Personally,
to me, the answer to that is how impactful Jaden Hicks can be day one. Because if he can take over that strong safety role and be effective, it allows you to have guys like Rayshon Jenkins and Kayvon Wallace and Kobe Bryant all mix into the corner room to allow Witherspoon to play more outside snaps and rotate with Michael Jackson there, who, you know, is a depreciation asset at the outside quarterback position, where Witherspoon is taking that job eventually. So that's the hope. The worst, you know, I agree with you, they need corner, but it's like, man, when your interior is like that and your linebacking room is like that, and your safety room is like that, and your edge rushing room could really use another guy, especially for the future. Like, it's tough to pin down, okay, let's also get a corner when we, you know, going into this draft, you have a first round pick and a third round pick and then a bunch of day three picks. You know, we got a little bit more, but still not a second, you know, still not, you know, it's just tough.
Do you think we made a playoff team here?
Yeah. Depending on the trench play interior, yes. Yeah. Because they're a playoff team last year, you know.
Right. It's just, there wasn't much that needed to happen.
No, they cut players that truly weren't really helping them. And then the linebacking room was the big shift, really.
Right.
And then interior offensive line, who they had, you know, Damian Lewis and, like, they had some valuable pieces that they physically don't have the money to keep. So,
yeah,
we got to fix both those rooms.
Yeah, for sure. All right, that'll do it for this franchise fix. Before we go, I do want to mention our Patreon, patreon.com/thedevroyale. I mentioned the horizontal big board that I just dropped. We've got Andy Pham doing a ton of really good stuff for our Substack. We're writing articles now. We're doing more video content. It's been a little bit of a down time, but we are about to ramp back up with 2025 content. We've got a Devi guide on the way. So now is the time to join. It's $5 a month. If you ask our patrons, pretty good value. We try to give as much as we can. And then make sure, you know, even if you're not wanting to pay for anything right now, the Substack, we do have some free articles on there. The first article that Andy wrote was a Garrett Nussmeier profile. Really, really good stuff. It's stuff that we're pretty proud of to publish, and Andy's doing a really good job. So make sure you go substack.com/thedevroyale. You can subscribe for free. You can throw us $5. There will be some paywalled stuff on there as well. But we just always appreciate your support. And thank you guys for listening. We will be back with a Buffalo Bills franchise fix, hopefully for the YouTube as well. You're listening to this. It's on a podcast. It's because old Christian didn't get the graphics done for the YouTube. So Christian's going to work on the graphics for the Buffalo Bills one. We'll have that out to you before the end of this week. And then we've got a ton more stuff coming. Like I said, Andy's got some video work that he's doing for us as well. So keep an eye out for that. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast if you enjoyed this, or the YouTube if you want to look at our faces. I don't know why you would, but I mean, go over there and look at the pretty graphics at the very least. So, Randy, anything to add before we bounce?
No, just a fun team. You know, like we said, playoff team already. We're just trying to fix what they have broken and move on. You know, the way their team's constructed, they're winning now with what they've already brought in, and now we're just trying to rebuild in the next 2 years the other what they had to fix. And honestly, Buffalo's going to be about the same. We're going to do our best, but you know, they're picking high for a reason, but yes, they've lost most of their team. So we'll figure it out.
We have some work to do there, but thank you guys for listening. We will catch you next time.